Exciting news from the EAN. Since January 2025, EAN Campus is open to all associate members. If you're part of a National Neurological Society in Europe, you may already have access. Just log in with your MyEAN account at eancampus.org and explore top quality content. More details in the episode description.
Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, and welcome to EAN Cast, Weekly Neurology. My name is Alicia González, and I'm a neurologist. And this month's topic is burnout and beyond. And in today's episode, we're pleased to introduce today's speakers, both deeply engaged in the fields of neurology and mental health advocacy. This session is part of the European Academy of Neurology's initiative on neurologists' well-being, a topic of growing concern within our community. The idea for this task force originated from the impactful study by Diliberto, which highlighted the prevalence of burnout among residents and research fellows. However, emerging evidence indicates that burnout is not limited to early career neurologists. Senior professionals are also affected, though often underrecognized. Our main goal is to break the stigma surrounding burnout in neurology, identifying preventive strategies and promoting a culture of well-being across all career stages. This initiative is undertaken in close collaboration with colleagues in psychiatry, emphasizing the need for a multidisciplinary approach to ensure the mental health and professional sustainability of neurologists. My guests today are Professor Toscano, Professor of Neurology at the University of Messina and Head of Neurology and Neuromuscular Disorders Unit, Secretary General of the EAN and active member of the Italian Society of Neurology. And also we have with us Dr. Tor Palak, she's a psychiatrist trainee at Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust with a passion for doctor well-being and international mental health. She organized and led the BACS Movie Club project in Oxfordshire, UK to improve residents and doctors' well-being. Thank you very much to both of you for being present at this episode. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks a lot for this invitation.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, Alicia.
Well, I think we can start with Professor Toscano, and I would like to know, Professor Toscano, the EAN Task Force on Wellbeing is an initiative aimed at addressing clinician mental health through collaborative interdisciplinary approaches. How important is wellbeing among health professionals, and why should we care about it?
Yes, many thanks. This is one of the most relevant questions I think is included in this discussion, and I think that the importance of well-being for the healthcare professionals is very high. So it is important, fundamental, I would say, to the quality of care and sustainability of the healthcare system to try to develop a very nice strategy for this, because this is not a secondary aspect of our profession. So burnout, that has been mentioned several times, may impact the attention, the empathy, increases the risk of the medical errors we don't want. It's important also when every stakeholder is very well assessed and in peace, I would say, to try to better welcome the patient and to make them satisfied. So the burnout, in addition to what I said, it's important also to look at the social aspect. So professionals that are affected, let me say, by burnout can be at risk, so they may want to abandon their work. And this is something that is really, especially these days, absolutely unwanted, because we really need the appropriate number of professionals. And if this is a cause of abandon, it is necessary to try to fight this situation. So, and finally, I would outline the role of our associations, EPA and EAN, because it's my precise idea that we should consider this problem and we have to try to fight again this situation to avoid problems to the medical classes of professionals, because I suppose that I'm very convinced after several years of profession that it's something that we really have to do. It's not a transitory problem, but it's something that EAN or EPA need to take in a real serious consideration to avoid this phenomenon.
Thank you, Professor Toscano. And Dr. Chorpalak, as a psychiatrist involved in well-being initiatives, do you see distinct differences in mental health and well-being challenges faced by psychiatrists compared to neurologists?
Thank you very much for the question, Alicia. I think it's such a relevant topic, and I'm so excited to share insights with Professor Toscano as well. I just want to back up the lovely comments of Professor Toscano with some like scientific data that there was a recent General Medical Council's 2024 National Training Survey, which shows that more than 60% of resident doctors, and also you mentioned in the beginning that senior doctors also suffer from burnout, and also half of the senior doctors are at moderate or high risk of burnout. So it's such an important topic. To come back to your question, I think, yes, there are differences. We know that psychiatrists often experience high emotional burden due to working closely with patients who are suicidal, traumatized, or severely unwell. And there is like this constant emotional exposure that contributes to burnout. We know that there is scientific data, there is a meta-analysis from 2022 that a quarter to half of psychiatrists revealed burnout in that research. And it is such a stressful profession. And the factors contributing to that is quite important when we think of the interventions for early detection and interventions for burnout, like violence, limited resources, crowded inpatient wards, chronic stress, and stigma is quite important as well. Also, underreporting of their own stress, it is something that we see in medical professionals as well. Whereas neurologists, I think, in contrast, they deal with high cognitive workloads and stress of managing progressive and often untreatable conditions. There was again a survey that showed that approximately 60% of neurologists had at least one symptom of burnout. This was largely kind of due to excessive workload, loss of autonomy, administrative burden, like paperwork, or inadequate staff support. The other thing was quite striking is that psychiatrists also face internal stigma. They reported that psychiatrists often feel less respected within the wider medical community, which can affect morale and professional identity again. So this is why such collaborations are quite important between neurology and psychiatry, I think. Yes, I think both groups are at risk, but there are kind of like different factors contributing to burnout. Therefore, maybe more tailored approaches in terms of like well-being initiatives are needed.
Thank you. Very, very nice answer and very nice feedback. And Professor Toparlak, how are the fields of neurology and psychiatry currently combining their expertise to address clinician burnout, particularly through collaborative efforts such as EAN or EPA initiatives that we were mentioning before?
Yeah, I think Professor Toscano also mentioned the importance of like collaboration in the beginning. We know that we can see like lots of webinars and talks about this. For example, there's upcoming EAN webinar about burnout in neurology and psychiatry, shared challenges and shared solutions, again, in collaboration with our neurology and psychiatry colleagues to discuss that. And we know that, again, EAN and EPA co-authored a statement on a post-COVID syndrome, and there are again well-being task forces and EPAs kind of like created guidance papers and policy recommendations aimed at enhancing mental health care quality across Europe, as well as like healthcare professionals' mental health. I attended again EPA Congress in Madrid recently, and there was a dedicated session for burnout. It was such a lovely kind of session. It was focused on self-care, mental health, prevention strategies tailored to different stages of a clinician's career. Again, EPA has like different things, like, for example, in the Leadership Academy, they included self-care session for the professionals, which was lovely. And again, EPA psychotherapy group, for example, they have like virtual balance group sessions that we know from research that has like highly positive effect on clinicians' well-being. These are all the initiatives that is ongoing and very helpful, I think. And just to touch on our project here in Oxford as well, I led a movie club project for the trainees and who were at moderate to high risk of burnout. And we showed that they reported quite like positive feedback, and they said that they feel more connected and they had like positive impact on their well-being. These are the kind of like the things that we can do and we can see in EPA and EAN initiatives.
Thank you very much. And Professor Toscano, how do you think, how do you see this interdisciplinary effort contributing to improving physician well-being across Europe is going?
Yes, this is a crucial point, I would say. So Dr. Toberlak has already mentioned some ideas about this, but I would like to reinforce these concepts because we really need the so-called holistic approach. So we have to collaborate deeply to try to face this problem together and with the right strategies. So I think that this connection, this interconnection between the two associations and the two different professional aspects is very important when we think about mental health and neurological conditions. So a possible interconnection, possible, which is really possible because it has been already started somehow, but has to be reinforced, as I said. I think that the development of an integrated prevention and specific strategies of intervention, such as, for example, the brain health mission that EN has launched 2 years ago and now is fully in the usual discussion between the different associations and in several meetings. EAN is trying, in collaboration with the EPA, is trying to push as maximum this new strategy of combined approach. And this is because symptoms and signs of burnout should be very clear, and we have to try to intercept them earlier, because otherwise the risk is that this situation could become chronic. So, and we all know that it's better to treat us as soon as possible when we have the opportunity. This is a very common strategy in several, of course, disorders, mental and neurological, but it's important to have the tools to try to discover these problems as early as possible. Being in the board of the EAN, we have discussed several times this strategy, especially with the help and the stimulus of our residents, as you are. And this is very important because, honestly, I can tell you that several countries underestimate this problem. I don't want to emphasize too much because, of course, there are this problem is luckily still limited, but it's something that we really have to take in mind. And I suppose that a combined approach between neurologists and psychiatrists can create a common strategy at least at the European level. And this is our area of influence. So we really need to do this in this area. And I think, as in every kind of disease area, We really need to raise the awareness about this phenomenon, because this is something that is well known. Once you recognize the problem and once you are able to treat it, so this implies that you are able to follow the individuals that are in difficulty because of this problem. So it's important to have a common strategy in Europe, EPA and EAN, and to try to proceed with this common strategy to try to eradicate this problem as if possible.
Thank you, Professor Toscano. And Dr. Toparlak, in your view, what are the main challenges in aligning neurological and psychiatric approaches in preventing burnout and how this could be addressed?
So it's about kind of like, again, as Professor Toscano mentioned, like the early detection of burnout and awareness that are quite important. We know that we can play a crucial role in raising awareness and breaking the stigma, especially that there was a research show that the self-stigma as well, that clinicians feel that they are not enough when they notice maybe, or like they struggle to accept the fact that they are struggling with burnout. So it is very important to mention, I think. And awareness and the stigma, I would say the most important things in the early detection. And organizing like education programs like these, conferences, training events, workshops, and with podcasts, so we can foster understanding, support, and meaningful change, I think, in our community. The other thing would be kind of like with EAN, EPA, we can influence institutional practices by promoting mental health education and training, or workload management strategies within healthcare systems, the factors that are contributing to burnout, so we can work on them just for early detection and prevention. The other key area would be kind of research, and neurologists and psychiatrists, they can work together to explore the neurobiological underpinnings of stress, fatigue, and emotional exhaustion, or like kind of like identifying biomarkers for burnout that would lead to early detection and personalized kind of interventions as well. I think it's about kind of like changing the environment, building interdisciplinary support structures, and using insights from both brain and mind sciences to create a sustainable healthcare workforce.
And Professor Toscano, as technologies such as wearable devices and AI-based health apps become increasingly integrated into healthcare, how do you see their potential to complement clinical judgment in promoting and supporting physician well-being?
Yes, this is another important concept. I think that I would make a premise. So the human brain or brain and mind. So it's still the most important tool we have. So of course, we have a important potential for monitoring the burnout phenomenon and to try to intercept the stress signals earlier. But don't forget that artificial intelligence can analyze data, can identify profiles at risk, and we can also collaborate to try to address specific personalized interventions. But I still think that although we have a large number now of scientific validations of these new approaches, technological approaches, I still think that these tools cannot replace totally the human intervention, and the organization to change this situation is fundamental. The organization is, of course, something that is strictly linked to the human being, I would say. But I don't want to say something that is outdated, but at the moment, we have new tools. We have to learn how to use it in the proper manner without invading, of course, the privacy of different individuals.
Thank you. That's so true. And finally, Dr. Toparlak, what role do mindfulness app and digital interventions play in supporting real-time stress management for clinicians, in your view?
So I agree, I think, with Professor Toscano that the human connection is essential and technology like should not fully replace human care, but when if we can use it thoughtfully, it can fill the gaps where the care isn't immediately available for us. So the technology, so in summary, like can augment our ability to stay well instead of like replacing the human factor completely. For many doctors, we know that time is limited. We are working under pressure. Stigma remains a concern. And having kind of like a discrete on-demand tools can be helpful. There are like different apps like Headspace, Visa, Unmind. In our hospital's website as well, there are kind of like different well-being apps with like special codes that hospital provides that we can have access to. These are mainly kind of like based on CBT interventions and mindfulness. We know that it is also well received from research that the healthcare workers are happy to use them, and they mostly use it for sleep and anxiety, which can contribute to burnout. Especially like these conversational agents can effectively alleviate psychological distress. We know that from the research as well. But from kind of like, I think systems perspective that they have a culture that where mental health is normalized and proactive care is encouraged. So it is good to have like digital tools, I think, but not only that. So with team-based support, reflective practices in place, and organizational efforts to reduce burnout at its roots.
Thank you. Well, I think thank you for being here. Thank you to both of you for this nice discussion about the interdisciplinary collaboration between EAN and EPA. Also reviewing these initiatives, as well as introducing the potential of technology in burnout prevention. Thank you, and I hope you all enjoy this podcast, and please follow the EAN podcast. We will have more series upcoming.
Yes, thanks very much, Alicia, for this very nice chairmanship of this meeting, and I suppose that I can interpret also Dr. Toparlak thoughts. We are very happy to have participated in this debate, sort of debate, and I think there are a lot of other things that we have to discuss. But as I said, the important thing is raise awareness about this phenomenon, and everybody will profit of this. Thanks very much.
I really appreciate, Alicia, as well, for your work in moderating and bringing out these important topics to the forefront. And I just want to say all medical students or like the doctors listening to the podcast that caring for yourself is not a luxury. So it's kind of like crucial cornerstone for our well-being, but also for our patients. So be kind to yourself.
Thank you to both of you.
Bye-bye.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.